Hi, Hannah.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. You know, I have a riddle for you this morning.
Uh-huh.
Why didn't Barack Obama win the Nobel Prize for Literature?
Because he's only written 2 books. Ha ha. No, that's not the answer. What's the answer?
No. The answer is because he has written 2 books.
Right. Yeah. Because he's not obscure enough. Is that the answer?
He wrote 2 books. He did something in the field of literature.
That's true. Oh, I get it. You want him to have won the Nobel Prize in Literature because you've actually heard of that author as opposed to the one who did win the Nobel Prize in Literature.
I'm going to be explaining all my jokes at great length this morning.
Sorry, I'm like joke explaining joke killer.
We've been reeling ever since we woke up because we woke up to, you know, I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I pick up, among other things, I pick up my iPhone and quickly look to see, I look at Drudge to see whether something happened because you never know, some big thing could have said Obama won the Nobel Prize. Peace Prize, and I think like many people, a lot of people are making the same joke. I had to look to see if it was April 1st, because, and that was the first thing. Is this like the Onion? Is this really, is there some, it really did seem like some kind of a joke. So we've been trying to sort of steady ourselves and get a grip on reality ever since. Or did it sink right in and you sort of accepted it?
Okay, here's where I've already gone through the sort of the counterintuitive and then the counter to the counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
So the same thing this morning, I woke up and my email is all like, is this a joke? Is this a joke? That's all the emails that sort of I had flying around. And now I feel like, what's wrong with us that it's become the counterintuitive position to say that our president could have deserved the Nobel Prize? So I'm going to defend him. So you go first, because that's the position I've decided to take this morning.
Well, I think that by giving it to him prematurely, before he's done anything, that what it implies is that they don't think he is going to do anything. So I think it's sort of like a child prodigy. They probably aren't going to go on to some great achievements in the future. So the big thing is how much they got so early. So let's give him the citation now so we can all feel good about that. That's one theory. I have a bunch of other theories.
All right, let's stop with that theory.
Let me
go with that theory for a minute. I think that people who say that, you know, it's a slightly dishonest position, because that is the problem one might have with the Nobel Peace Committee, right? It's like they are completely ridiculous in so many ways. I mean, I'd just like to point out that Yasser Arafat won this prize. I mean, need I say more, right? Like Kissinger
won this prize.
Right, well,
that's the argument that it's just one more in a chain of ridiculous things that they do all the time.
Right, but it's not Obama's fault. It's not Obama's fault. Like, we can't use that to criticize him, right?
Yeah, and I'm not criticizing him. Mickey Kaus wrote this morning, has been getting a lot of citations for this, what Obama should do is refuse the award, that the most impressive thing would be that if he were to refuse. It's not the fact that he won it. It doesn't say anything against him. It says it's a problem with them for giving it to him when they did.
Well, you know, I think the timing is a little unfortunate, because what was the talk all this week, right? This was on your blog. This was on lots of different places. It's like, you know, you feel the worm turning, and weirdly, the worm has turned over that video of
long
children.
Long string of failures. Yeah,
well, it's like the children singing on healthcare, right? That's the thing that tips you and many people over the edge. Like, when the children sang during the campaign, there was actually this very charming video of some school kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was like McCain to the right, Obama to the... And everybody, that was an awesome, you know, that video went around, everyone really liked it. This video went around about kids thinking about Obama healthcare, and everyone was like, okay, enough. Like, we're done with the kind of symbolic hope version of Obama. Like, we want some, you know, goods. And then, you know, and then Jon Stewart did that great riff, which was about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is actually incredibly convincing.
Saturday Night Live had the imitation of him where he was talking about how he's done nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And it went over and over. What have I done? Nothing. What have I done? Nothing.
Right.
And
so,
of course, not the least of this is that he didn't get the Olympics, that he went over to Copenhagen.
Right.
As if just being there. And he, you know, I put the little video embed of his speech up on my blog, because it was just unbelievable. The smile he had on his face, as if he just thought he was the man, that his saying it, oh, I would like them.
Right.
Oh, well, of course then, everybody else, step back, he would like them.
Right.
And it just seemed ridiculous. And this, it's almost as if, I don't know, the Norwegians are like trying to make him feel better or something like that.
No,
it's
not like they decided yesterday. I mean, see, for me, it's like the theater kind of went down badly. Like, all the things that were happening to create this theater of the Nobel were just kind of badly timed. It really is like a theater performance that's all gone awry, and the ultimate result being that, like, the curtain goes up and he has his pants down or something. It's like it all just kind of unfolded in a way to make him look ridiculous. But the substance, you know, it's not particularly ridiculous. What? Why does the Nobel Peace Prize for Literature is very? I mean, for the Nobel Peace Prize is very different than the prize for literature, right? So these other prizes, like the prize for literature, are sort of lifetime achievements. You know, sometimes for people who have been overlooked or who are deserving but haven't, you know, been given credit. The Peace Prize is in a sort of different mode. It's like shoving someone along. You know, they basically take. You know, if it's a prize for sort of what's the exact wording of it? It's fraternity between nations, right? So, like, what you wrote on your blog is probably true. Like, there is this sense in which there is this problem in fraternity between nations, and it's our fault, and more specifically, it's George Bush's fault, right? And so now you have this person who represents the opposite of that, so they just kind of want to shove him along, and it is very symbolic. It's not like they're involved in American politics and care what's happening in the healthcare debate and know that most of the reason that he has failed to accomplish is the Senate. You know, they're not into that. They're thinking on a sort of extremely high global level, you know.
Well, in fact, in other words, they really are giving him the award for the future, what they hope they'll do in the future, and by giving him the award, they're trying to make that happen.
Yes, they're trying to make something happen. They're trying to sort of, you know, and of course there's a part of me which feels like this is this kind of condescending European, you know, naivete. There's definitely a big part of that, part of me that feels that they're like, wow, the Americans elected an African American. Like, he must be Martin Luther King. Let's give him the Nobel Peace. You know, there's definitely
so
a part of Europeans who are just kind of dumb to sort of the realities of American politics and the dirt of American, but they just don't get it. And they say like, oh, let's give the African American a prize, you know. I definitely feel that. You feel that when you talk to Europeans. It's like they think he's their president, and the stupid Americans elected him by accident.
But then,
right?
Why didn't he get the Olympics for Chicago? Last Friday, it was all about, hey, the Europeans actually don't love us. They don't even love Obama. What happened?
Right.
It was just rude awakening.
Exactly.
Suddenly
it's like they don't
again.
Love Obama
as much
as we do.
Is this a whole Denmark, Norway kind of a? The Scandinavian countries are all subtly different,
right?
In ways that they want us to pay attention.
Exactly, which
hey,
we
we're
don't.
Not like we're not like Denmark. We're Norway,
right, exactly.
The greatest country in the world.
Exactly, and we don't know or care. And so they are exactly the same way. They think like actually he's the president of the nation of Scandinavia. You know, he's not. The Americans don't deserve him. You know, so there's an element of that. Now I have to say, I mean, this is part of me which like bristles against blaming Obama for all of this. I was just as I was sort of like researching. This morning, I was remembering this fantastic article that Jacob Weisberg wrote in the Old New Republic. It was in the 80s, like 1986, whenever Elie Wiesel won the Nobel Peace Prize. And it was all about the just kind of gross lobbying that all of Elie Wiesel's friends did for him to win the Nobel Prize. And, you know, it was just kind of the unseemliness of it and how now the Nobel Peace Prize has become sort of something like, you know, the Oscars. It's like, you know, you kind of influence, you send presents to the people on the committee, you get all your friends to call, you offer money to their friends. It's all just kind of gross and corrupted. For sure, Obama had nothing to do with that. Like, for sure, he probably woke up this morning and said the same thing everybody else said, like, oh, God, I have to deal with this, you know? I mean, he's not going to sort of present it that way, but you can imagine that his advisors huddling around were like anticipating everything that you and I are talking about it and groaning,
right.
You know?
I mean, now they have to worry about defending that he deserved it. I mean, there is a certain potential for backlash and so on. What is he supposed to do about it? And I think there's an especial concern that it seems like the Europeans are trying to co-opt us into some internationalist movement and to undercut American leadership. I noticed that the citation, the official reasons for why he got the award themselves said his diplomacy is founded in the concept that those who are to lead the world must do so on the basis of values and attitudes that are shared by the majority of the world's population. Now, maybe that sounds good to a lot of people, but I think to a lot of Americans' ears, it's saying, well, they want us to follow. They're saying, you're a great leader because of the way you follow us. So it's kind of undercutting American exceptionalism, or basically, as one of my commenters said, it's a prize for weakening America. Now, I'm sure they've all figured it out that that's going to be what they will hear. I mean, the Rush Limbaugh show goes on in less than an hour. I'm interested to see how he presents it. I mean, there's going to be a backlash. It's sort of like at some point, if one, you know, all of these accolades, all of this over-puffery for him, it's got, there's a backlash to it at some point. So, I mean, I don't think that it's a, you know, it might be a gift that he doesn't really want.
Totally, but I don't feel like that's his fault. Like, I feel
it's not his fault, but it's another thing he has to deal with.
For
and
sure.
I think he has
it's
to
another thing he has to deal with, but,
in,
like, whatever Rush Limbaugh says, Rush Limbaugh's wrong, right? It's not a sign of American weakness. It's a sign of the kind of, you know, pettiness and condescension, perhaps, of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, but it's not, you know,
it's not a question of right or wrong.
The argument does not then follow that Obama shouldn't be, you know, making a speech in Egypt, which is more conciliatory and intelligent than the speech, you know, in Cairo, than the speech that Bush would have made on the same occasion, or that, you know, what, I'm going to align myself with Hamas and Rush Limbaugh because they think that, you know...
No, I'm not saying that. I don't. It's not that Rush Limbaugh might be right or wrong. It's that he represents a certain type of American opinion that Obama has to keep an eye out for, and this has heightened the feeling that a lot of people have that Obama isn't really the, to use John Stewart's phrase, he's not really the president of America, he's just the most popular guy in the world.
Right.
And
right.
I think that can hurt an American president. We don't really want someone who's there for the whole world. The world counts, but he's got to be our guy.
Right.
He's got to be our leader, and to be too co-opted into internationalist goals and so on. He needs the international community, but I don't know that he's really built up the respect from them, and I think that this may be a kind of a backhanded, you know, weakening of the American president.
Right, right. I hear you. I have to say, of all, you know, famous people, I feel that he you know, if there is someone I trust to deal with the big head, I trust him to deal with the big head. I'm sure his response to this is going to be to sort of hunker down and not to go on a kind of popularity, you know, concert tour of the Scandinavian countries, right? Like, surely he will just, you know, downplay this and say some kind of self-deprecating thing and then go on about his business. But what will be in his wake, I mean, what he can't prevent is the actual conversation, what has he done lately, right? That's the conversation that actually this is tapping into. Like, forget all that stuff about American, the sort of big questions about American exceptionalism. There's the much smaller questions about, you know, gay rights, don't ask, don't tell, healthcare reform, like actually all the substantive policies that, you know,
he needs some real achievements, not a shelf full of trophies.
Right.
You know, he's got way more of them already, and it just looks like he's getting things he doesn't really deserve.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I was reading a story this morning about the hate crimes bill, you know, which is like, okay, that's like a substantive, legitimate bill, right? As opposed to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which, you know, the John Stewart riff is great on this.
Well, right? Why is it justified? I don't really understand.
I don't think it's I'm just talking about, you know, how we measure accomplishments.
It's a sop. Rather than doing something that would mean something, like getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, there's some I haven't read about this.
No, I completely agree with you. This is the point
they're adding
I was about
another
to make,
layer
like,
of criminalness to things that are already crimes and that challenge federalism values. Is that what this
yes,
is?
Yes, let me back up and explain. So the bill that was passed, you know, there's already hate crimes legislation, but it does not apply to homosexuality. And after the Matthew Shepard killing, which was the killing of a young gay man a few years ago, there has been a huge lobby to add homosexuality to the list of crimes that are considered hate crimes and thus will incur an extra penalty to what the normal criminal penalty is of whatever crime, you know, murder, rape, whatever. And this is like a concrete thing. There's been sort of activists pushing this for a long time, the same way they've been activists pushing for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is to, you know, to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is people consider discriminatory policies in the military. So this morning on the front page of the New York Times, it's like hate crimes legislation passed for gay people. Yay, Obama. Yay, Democrats. But my point, I imagine, is the same as your point. Hate crimes legislation is fine and symbolic, like the Nobel Peace Prize, but it affects, like, nobody, as opposed to Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah, you said it was concrete. It's not concrete. It's abstract.
It's concrete. It just doesn't really change the reality of anybody's life, right? Like, it is like an extra penalty, you know, it's sort of symbolic, and then just kind of in a couple of cases, like Matthew Shepard's case.
It's a sop to a group that wants someone to pat them on the head and give them something, but it doesn't really change anything. You're already talking about things that are already crimes. The real issue is one of federalism, which people don't seem to be able to talk about, except, you know, during the campaign on the issue of gay marriage, he, like many of the other, or maybe all of the other candidates, came up with the "it should be left to the states" argument. So federalism is something that they whip out when they need it,
right.
And then when they want to make something into federal law to make some interest group feel good, then they do that. And the only reason they're making this group feel good now rather than back however many years ago it was that Matthew Shepard got murdered, it's because he's being criticized over "Don't Ask, Don't Tell," which he said he was going to get rid of.
Right, in no uncertain
that
terms,
would be concrete,
right? In no
to get
uncertain
rid of,
terms. It was like, yeah, end "Don't Ask, Don't Tell." It's a bad
that's
policy.
That's what the John Stewart routine was
right.
about.
And that was a completely convincing
on
routine,
that issue. Yeah.
Right? Because "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" actually affects thousands of people, would be a tremendous mm-hmm. shift in the military. We all know mm-hmm. that the military has an ability to kind of shift cultural mores in that way, right? Because you just pass the law, and thus it has to be that way, and sort of lots mm-hmm. of things shift. In response, the military has a unique ability to affect cultural sensibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so he's afraid to knock the military about something that they want to keep. Meanwhile, he's pretty intimidated by the military and not stepping up and doing the leadership things he needs to do with respect to the actual use of the military in various military situations.
Right. So I mean, I guess that is all just to say that we are now going to, everybody's going to be having this kind of conversation. You know, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. Number two, does he deserve the Nobel Peace Prize? Number three, let's go down the list, you know? And mm-hmm. so that's, you know, I think that's the political problem that he has now, is that we're going to go down the list. It's going to be, you know, gay rights. We're going to have that same conversation we just had. And then, you know, healthcare reform. Well, that's all stuck in 100 different ways. You know, maybe that will pass some reasonable bill. They're hashing it out. Maybe it will.
Well, they'll pass something in the end. They have to pass something, and whatever it is, they'll say it's a victory.
Right. And then we'll talk about Afghanistan, right? That's another thing we are now mired in, and what will happen, you know, will there be more troops, won't there be more troops? So it'll just be a time to sort of take the pulse about all the things that he promised to do and has
mm-hmm.
not done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one could argue that people were doing that anyway, and it was the natural moment to do that.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the sort of a schoolyard taunt when you say to someone, "You're supposed to be so smart," and then every time you do something that isn't completely smart, you're supposed to be so, "Well, you won the Nobel Peace Prize."
Yeah,
so now everything that falls short, "Hey, Peace Prize boy, you know, you won the, you know, what are you going to do?"
Exactly. It's like the MacArthur genius. So, "Hey, genius, you know, what are you going to do about this
you're
problem?"
You're a big genius. So
exactly.
You're supposed to be the genius.
Yeah. Right, right. I was listening to a fabulous story this morning about this Argentinian prodigy who is a musical prodigy he's 28 years old and was just named the head of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and is like, you know, is this fabulously charismatic character. But of course, one of the things he was talking about was, you know, there's this Argentinian system of kind of producing these musical prodigies, and this is just going to hang over his head, you know. God
mm-hmm,
forbid they
mm-hmm,
get bad
mm-hmm.
reviews in the cities they
mm-hmm.
go around and be like,
yeah,
well, you
yeah.
are the prodigy guy, you know. So
yeah, I was thinking about prodigies too. I mean, in fact, you know I called him Peace Prize Boy, and I'm sure someone's going to say, well, you can't say boy with respect to a black person. Now you've said something racist. That's terrible.
Right.
But, you know, the fact is that he got elevated at a completely early age, prematurely. He is like a child prodigy, and I understand the sensitivity about characterizing him as a child. And I kind of wish I hadn't said that, because I feel like I'm going to get attacked for saying that. But the fact is that he has prematurely been elevated into something, and he seems like a prodigy. And the fact is that prodigies normally don't succeed at a later level. Music prodigies. And what kind of a prodigy was he? He was a political prodigy, a prodigy at getting elevated to positions that he didn't deserve yet. And
right.
this is another example of that.
Well, let's
when
talk
we
about
see him do something.
Let's end this conversation like this. What would he do? What is the right response to this situation, right? I mean, all I've read is sort of, you know, Rahm Emanuel made a joke, you know, we've had Lech Walesa, like, say, like, what? Are you kidding? I mean, the same thing you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only
mm-hmm.
person CNN this morning quoted in support of Obama was, like, some tweet. It was like, somebody tweeted, "Yay, my president." Like, that's the best they could come up with as a support for the president.
And
you know, you are Obama. You're in this position. You know that everybody's going to say you don't deserve it. The Nobel Prize mm-hmm. has sort of dropped this on your head. What do you do?
Well, you know, my first thought was something that had kind of been a humorous slogan for me, which was, "Obama's in trouble. How can we help?"
Right.
And you remember when he did the speech to the school children, there was a whole thing. They withdrew it, but there was a question about whether children were supposed to write essays on how they could help the president.
Right.
And so that's the first thing that I thought of, is that the world community wants to help them. But as far as your question, what Obama should do, I don't think he should refuse the award, but I think he should be very serious about acknowledging that he, basically, his humility over it, that he doesn't really deserve it, that he's going to view it as something that's aspirational about some things that he would like to be able to do, and to the extent that he that the prize may help him do that or help people help him do things that he wants to do, he would like to be worthy of those goals that it represents and embodies. So I would characterize the award as representing some kind of idealistic goals, which he shares, he appreciates their embracing of those goals, and he hopes to live up to them so that when people look back on his administration, they will say they gave it to him too early, but he rose to the occasion, and he really did earn it.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think, you know, one good thing that can come out of it is that, you know, it gives them this kind of like, aha, like statesman status, which actually is useful in the Middle East. I mean, you know, not that it did Yitzhak Rabin any good or Yasser Arafat, but, you know, coming from outside the Middle East, it does give you this kind of, you know, like Bill Clinton can sort of, you know, jet into North Korea and, you know, get some, you know, get the women out. It's like it does give you some sort of magical statesman quality that might serve him well, given that he has magical statesman quality at the same time that he's still actually president, so he could actually, mm-hmm. you know, do something with that magical statesman quality.
It kind of was Jimmy a quick Carter. Restoration of the magic. You know, there was when he didn't get the Olympics, there was a sense that, oh, whoops, I guess he's not magic. He's
right.
lost his magical quality. But this is like a quick reinfusion of magic.
Right, the fairy dust is back. Give
yeah,
us back the fairy
that.
Dust.
Yeah, the shepherd fairy dust. Hope.
Okay, on that note. Okay, anything more to say about the Nobel Peace Prize? Have we tapped out this subject?
You know, do we want to make this an all Nobel Peace Prize? I have like 10 posts on my blog this morning, and they're all Nobel Peace Prize.
So yeah, so let's leave it Nobel Peace Prize.
All Nobel Peace
yes.
Prize all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, I just, you know, I think he deserves a lot of criticism, and the Nobel Committee deserves a lot of criticism. But, you know, everyone hopes for peace, and let's hope he lives up to it. You know, a question I was going to ask you, what do you think of it? Did you know that Hitler was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 1939? Question, if he had been given the Nobel Peace Prize in 1939, would it have helped?
I think it would have shut down the Nobel Committee quickly. I mean, all this business we say about them being kind of, you know, frivolous and ridiculous, I think they would have been dead.
Well, you don't think people would have said, oh, hey, Hitler, you got the Nobel Peace Prize,
right.
Come on. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, the Peace Prize.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
rethink this.
No, I don't think so. No, definitely not. Oh, boy. Okay, on Hitler. Let's end on Hitler. That's always a nice place.
Okay. I thought you want, maybe you might want like end on a little Barack Hussein Obama kind of children's cheerleading. We could sing the song.
Yeah, we could.
Don't you want to sing the song together?
The healthcare really, song? I wish I'd memorized it. I do have...
No, the other one. The other one that was the New Jersey... You know, there's more than one. There are a whole bunch of these. The healthcare one that was on CNN yesterday was a different one from the one at the New Jersey school where the schools, where the students were saying, Barack Hussein Obama. You remember that? And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
No, I missed that one, but I'm going to go look at it now. And
it's,
I think I'm going to write a song and sing it with my children. That's,
I think we should. Well, we were singing this morning. We were humming America the Beautiful with new words, you know, God, Obama, God shed his grace on me. We were singing that was the song around.
I want to live in your household. Where you know, you open one eye, look at the iPhone, get the news, and then sing, you know, reinvented patriotic songs.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what? I saw that Al Gore is giving a speech. This is Madison, Wisconsin here. You can see out the window. Al Gore is giving a speech today, and I'm afraid to go downtown and walk down State Street. I'm afraid of running into Al, like leaning against the lamppost, crying.
Well, at least, you know what's
Because, you know, they gave him the award, but it was a consolation prize because he didn't get the presidency that, you know, he really wanted. He had to do all of this other stuff, make the movie, write the book, and then finally he got the award, and now they've just given it to Barack Obama.
I guess Al Gore did write more books.
Poor Al.
He did write more books, right?
And then the other person I'm concerned about is the Dalai Lama, because, you know, he won the Nobel Prize.
Right.
And Obama just refused to meet with him. So it's sort of like, last week, Obama decides to meet with the Dalai Lama. Nobel Peace Prize winner, Dalai Lama. Next week, suddenly Obama's got the Peace Prize. I'm worried about, I'm afraid that the usual kindly, smiling, gentle demeanor of the Dalai Lama might be in
ruffled.
Disarray.
Well, you're
today.
Missing
I'm
one
a
thing.
I'm worried about that.
You're missing one thing, which is now it's like Skull and Bones. It's like, you know, the secret Nobel breakfasts that you and I don't know about, where, you know, the Dalai Lama and Al Gore are now, you know, the ghost of Yasser Arafat and Barack Obama all get together, you know, at the
hey, we're
know,
writing
the
a
Adams.
Saturday Night Live sketch for this.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
We've got the basic elements going.
Exactly. Okay, well, America the okay. Beautiful, go sing more patriotic songs. It's been yeah. fabulous talking to you, and you know, I'm sorry we didn't get to Polanski and all the other juicy stuff we could have talked about.
And Letterman
shattered, and Letterman
yeah.
and
yeah.
Polanski. Some
things
so
just
much going
rise
on,
to the top.
But that will have to
we
wait
have
until...
to bow down to our President Obama.
Exactly. Today. Next week's indictment, and then it'll sort of rise back up again. We can talk about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice
good.
Talking to you,
bye.
Hannah. Bye-bye.